Turn with me to Romans, please. Romans chapter 9 and 10 today. We'll be hitting the end of 9 and the very beginning of 10, Lord willing. Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 30, I believe, and going through verse 4 of chapter 10. Let me jump back for context and go back to verse 26. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and had been and been made like unto Gomorrah. And we talked about how that seed is Christ. Without Christ, we'd all be doomed to an eternity in the lake of fire. Verse 30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The message this morning is entitled, Christ, the Stumbling Stone of Righteousness. Christ, the Stumbling Stone of Righteousness. Let's pray, please. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, especially for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you that he paid our sin debt. And Lord, thank you for opening the door to the Gentiles. Otherwise, very few of us could be saved. And so, Father, we're very grateful that your grace was bestowed upon us. And Father, help us not to shirk that grace. Help us to share it with others. Bless now this time, I pray. In Jesus' name, if there's one that doesn't know Christ, would you speak to that heart here today? In Christ's name we ask. Amen. In these verses, Paul comes to the conclusion of the matter of why Israel as a whole, now again, there are Jews who get saved, okay, but Israel as a whole, why Israel as a whole is right now a rejected people, and why the Gentiles instead are being received into the family of God instead of those Jews. And it's because of Christ, the stumbling stone of righteousness. Because of Christ. Look back in verse 30, please, of chapter 9. What shall we say then? Talking about that the Jews are not the people of God, and the Gentiles are. That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. What is he saying? He's saying the Gentile nations never once tried to follow God's Old Testament law. They followed not after righteousness. They didn't care about the God of the Jews. They had their own false gods they were following. Jupiter, Nike, Victoria were some of the gods of Rome. Zeus, and of course the host of those Greek gods. Marduk of Babylon, Baal of Canaan and Syria, Dagon of Philistia. They all had their own false gods, and a whole slew of them for every nation. None of the Gentile nations ever attempted to please the Lord God Jehovah. That's what he's saying. The Gentiles which followed not after righteousness. But then he goes on to say, yet these Gentiles that have not followed after righteousness, they didn't follow the Old Testament law, they have attained to righteousness somehow. Somehow. How can that be? How can that be? The Gentiles found out about the secret shortcut, if you will. The Gentiles found out about the secret shortcut to righteousness and accepted him in faith. You see, we here are all Gentile blood. Maybe there's a little bit of Jewish blood in a few of us, but mostly we're Gentile blood. And we as non-Jews, if we had been living in the time of the Old Testament, to become one of God's people, we would have had to join the Jewish nation. We would have had to have put aside our idols and put aside the way we live and adapt ourselves to the Jewish law. And we would have had to have tried to keep it. But of course, the Gentiles had no interest in doing that. No, they wanted to live the way they wanted to live. They didn't want anybody telling them what they could eat and what they couldn't eat or anything like that. But now that Jesus Christ has died on the cross, Gentiles are realizing who Jesus Christ is. And God has opened the door to us that we can be saved. And we've been told about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and we put our faith in Him for salvation. We who our ancestry says we had nothing to do with Jehovah God. And so, according to our ancestry, we should not have anything to do with the God of the Bible. But God has graciously opened the door for us. And we've attained to righteousness without trying to fulfill the law. Without trying to keep the Old Testament. We had a shortcut to righteousness, if you will. By accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, Jesus Christ became our righteousness, you see. Jesus Christ is the righteous one, the perfect one. And when we accept Him in faith, His righteousness is applied to our spiritual bank account, if you will. His righteousness is applied to me spiritually. And because of Christ, and only because of Christ, do you attain the righteousness of God. There's no other way we could do so. I attained righteousness simply because I accepted Jesus Christ in faith for salvation. He is the righteous one. But it was done in faith. Look at the end of verse 30. Even the righteousness which is of faith. It was all of faith, you see. We who never tried to be righteous by the law reached what the law demanded of men when we accepted the righteous one as our payment, as our substitute, the righteous Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in that way, we found a shortcut to righteousness, if you will. I didn't have to attain righteousness by works. I attained it simply in faith of the righteous one, Jesus Christ. I did not have to work at being righteous all my life long like the Jews are trying to do. Jesus Christ is my righteousness today. Matthew Henry, the commentator, he said this about the Gentiles trying to attain righteousness, how they do it. How the Gentiles attain righteousness, he says, quote, by faith, you and I attain righteousness by faith, not by being proselytized to the Jewish religion and submitting to the ceremonial law, but by embracing Christ and believing in Christ and submitting to the gospel. They, the Gentiles, attained to that by the shortcut of believing sincerely in Christ, for which the Jews had been long in vain beating about the bush, he says. Oh, the Jews. And of course, I was over there and saw their zeal, saw their zeal. We'll talk about that in a second. But the Gentiles have accepted God's Messiah, is the point. The Gentiles are accepting of God's Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ of righteousness, the Savior. The Gentiles, on the other hand, the Jews, on the other hand, the Jews stand rejecting their Messiah. The Jews are rejecting their Messiah. Verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, Israel, who is trying and working so hard at trying to fulfill the Old Testament law, they hath not attained to the law of righteousness. They're working at it, but they are falling short every single time. Not one Jew has attained to the law of righteousness. Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Verse 32. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. The Jews are not able to attain the righteousness that the law demands. We've talked about this earlier in Romans. One sin makes us a lawbreaker. Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 10. One breaking of the law makes us a lawbreaker. James chapter 2 verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. The same law that he is trying to keep declares that person to be guilty for one breaking of the law. So even as the Jew works very hard, oh so very hard, at keeping the law, even as he is working at keeping it, he is breaking it, you see. He's not fully keeping it while he is trying to keep it. Over here is a little break of the law in his life. And over there is a fracture of the law in his life. And over here is a little mistake, a little fracture of the law over there. And over there, the law was bent until it broke. The Jew, as the Jew tries to keep the law, the law simply declares him to be guilty over here and over there, and guilty there and guilty there. You've broken it there. You didn't attain it there. So the Jew finds himself still guilty before a holy God. Even though he has done all the good, all those good things, he still failed in all these other areas, these other places. He still found disobeying the law here and there. And the primary reason that the Jew still finds himself working at trying to keep the law is because the Jews rejected their Messiah 2,000 years ago. The Jews as a nation rejected him. When not just the leaders, but the crowd, the common people with the leaders, cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! We have no king but Caesar. Let his blood be on us and on our children," they cried. "Crucify him." And God took that literally. And God has applied Christ's blood. He has kept them accountable for Christ's blood all these years. His blood is on them and on their children. Sad to say. But it's because they rejected Christ, their Messiah. He was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament pictures. And because they rejected him, all that is left for the Jew to do is to continue repeating the empty motions of the law over and over, over and over, over and over, Turn to Romans chapter 7. Empty motions. Romans 7, 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law, even the motions of trying to fulfill the law, became motions of sin, because trying to fulfill the law, we were found breaking it. And the Jew is just fulfilling empty motions over and over again today. Matthew Henry again says of the Jews this time, quote, they talked much of justification and holiness, seemed very ambitious of being the people of God and the favorites of heaven, but they did not attain to it. That is, the greatest part of them did not. As many as stuck to their old Jewish principles and ceremonies, embracing the shadows, now that the substance was come, these fell short of acceptance with God, were not owned as his people, nor went to their house justified, end quote. They rejected he who fulfilled the law. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Matthew Henry says, they embraced, continued to embrace the shadows even while the substance had come. What's he talking about? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, it indicated something that was going to happen in the future. It gave glimpses, it gave pictures, it gave an idea of what was coming, but it did not give the substance of it. It did not reveal all about Christ. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. The law was a shadow, the writer of Hebrews, we believe it's Paul, the writer of Hebrews says. Go over to chapter 8, I believe, Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews 8, 5. The context of who? The context of that is the priests and the law. Verse 4 makes that clear. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. So who is talking about the priests serving the law and the law? Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. The priest and the law served as an example. That's what it means by a shadow. An illustration, a picture, an example of heavenly things. An example and shadow. That's what the law was. Of something that was going to come. The heavenly Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. The law was a shadow of heavenly things to come. What are those things? Colossians 2:17 makes it very clear, very plain. Again, the context is the things in the law, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. What body cast that shadow of the law? The body of Christ cast the shadow, you see. Christ is he which cast that shadow. The law is all about Jesus Christ. And the Jews rejected him. Christ is the very substance of that which the Old Testament was a shadow for. Christ is the body that cast the shadow. Go back to Romans chapter 9. Understanding that, now let's read this portion again. Romans 9:31 and 32. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, which was a shadow of Christ, the law, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They stumbled at that stumbling stone. They did not accept Jesus Christ in faith. They rejected him completely. And so all that was left for them to do is to continue doing the empty motions, the empty works of that law. They stumbled at Christ, the stumbling stone. They rejected their Messiah. And the very Messiah they were supposed to accept became that rock of offense. That stumbling stone that the Jews, each Jew, as he is raised in the Jewish religion of Judaism, they are taught to stumble over Christ. They are taught that to not have anything to do with Jesus. They are taught to hate Christ. He became a stumbling stone that the Jewish nation has not been able to recover from. And so they continue their old works. Because he, which fulfilled everything, was rejected, and so all that was left, keep on doing the works. And it's all it amounts to in the Jewish religion today. It's just empty works over and over again, without reaching the perfection the law demands. So sad that the Jews are lost. With all their works, with all their religiosity, their zeal, they're trying to keep what God gave them. It's all about works. It's all about what I'm doing. Look how good I am, God. Look how good I am. When all it takes, verse 33, when all it takes is accepting and believing on Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him, notice that stumbling stone is a him, the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. All they would have to do is accept Jesus Christ. And when a Jew does, he's gloriously saved. All the promises are applied unto that Jew. For which a minute ago that Jew had distanced himself by unbelief away from all those promises. But as soon as they put their faith in Jesus Christ, all the promises apply to that Jew. All it takes is accepting and believing on Jesus Christ alone. They're over there in Israel in every synagogue, but they're working so hard. The Jews put us to shame so, oh boy. I mean, what we would not be willing to do would be like the very first thing a Jew has to do. The very tip of the iceberg that Jews do, we'd say, what, really? I don't want to do that. That's too much work. The Jews shame Christians in how much they are willing to do for God. They act just like Naaman the Syrian, in fact. Go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. When I think of Jews, I think of Naaman. 2 Kings 5. The Jewish nation is acting like Naaman the Syrian. 2 Kings 5. Remember, Naaman was the Syrian captain of the host of Syria. And he had leprosy. He had leprosy. And his little servant girl, an Israelite servant girl, told his wife, oh, I wish my master would go to the prophet in Israel. The prophet would heal him of his leprosy. And so that word got back to the king. And somehow the message got a little bit, a little bit of the message got dropped off. And the king sent Naaman to the king of Israel, to have the king of Israel heal him of his leprosy. And of course, that got to the prophet, and the prophet called him to his house. And verse 10 now, 2 Kings 5:10, starting verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. All Jesus says to the Jews is, just believe in Jesus. Just trust Christ for salvation. just wash in the blood of the Lamb. Just wash in the blood of your Messiah, and you will be clean of the leprosy of sin. But the Jews act like Naaman. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Notice verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him. Oh, praise God for those wise servants. That's what you and I, this is the job you and I are supposed to be doing, by the way. Being a wise servant for Jesus. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, if he had said, Go find a dragon and slay it, and then go find a second dragon and slay that one, wouldn't you have spent your life doing that to get rid of the leprosy? Basically is what they're saying here. My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? If the prophet had given you an impossible mission in order to cleanse yourself from leprosy, wouldn't you have spent the rest of your life trying to fulfill that mission to get rid of the leprosy? Yeah, that's kind of what I was expecting. I was kind of expecting I would have to work for this. I was kind of expecting that I'd have to do a lot of good things to get cleaned of leprosy, to get healed. And the servants continue, verse 13, How much rather then when he saith thee, Wash and be clean? All you have to do is go wash in the blood. All you have to do is go wash in the blood of Jesus Christ and be clean, Jews. And praise God, some Jews respond like Naaman did. And he went down to Jordan and dipped in Jordan 7 times. According to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Isn't God going to ask me to fulfill all this law? Isn't God going to expect some hard things for me to fulfill all my life for salvation? This is what the Jews are thinking. No. God provided your salvation in Jesus Christ. Just go wash in Christ and be clean. No, that's too easy. That can't be the way. That's too simple. I must have to do something for my salvation. And it's not just the Jews, by the way. It's all the religions of the world. Do something. Do something. Work for your salvation. That's the difference between the false religions and the true religion of God. All the rest say you must work for it. God says it's a free gift. It's a free gift. Just wash and be clean. Wash and be clean. That's all you have to do. It's too easy. It's too easy. I must have to do something. God says, I provided the cleansing fountain. Just dip in it and be clean. Go back to Romans, please. But they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Christ, the stumbling stone of righteousness. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Gentiles accept Christ, the Jews reject Christ. That's the whole reason why the Jews have been set aside. They rejected their Messiah. Gentile nations, Gentile peoples, not nations per se, exactly, but Gentile peoples are accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are brought into the family of God, while the Jews, who should have been the family of God, are rejected. They're not the family of God because they reject God's Messiah. Chapter 10 now. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Yes, Israel is set aside, but don't be high-minded about that, Gentile. You're in the family of God and they're not, and they were so close to it, but you're in it instead. Don't be high-minded about that. Remember, he that cut off the natural olive tree can also cut out the wild olive tree that was grafted in. We are to pray for Israel to be saved. Pray for Israel to be saved. That is God's heart still. God wants his people, again, his people and the fact that they're a special people, but not God's family members right now. God wants Israel to be saved still. Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, and they certainly do. A zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Just look at the Jew for just a little bit and see what they do. See their works. See how they try so hard to fulfill what they think is God's law. The problem with their zeal, though, is they zealously are trying to prove their goodness to God. They're trying to prove their goodness to God when they need to be believing in God's goodness to them. They need to be believing in God's goodness to them. Not trying to prove to God how good I am. Can I get a young man to help me for just a second? Sure, Caleb. You're going to represent God. Stand up here. This is going to represent Jesus Christ. Take this out. This, of course, represents my righteousness. Now, you'll have to pretend. This used to be white, okay? But my sin messed it up. My sin made it all black. And it used to be a perfect white coat. But now it's just a sinful blob. And the Jews and everybody who is trying to work their way to heaven are begging God, would you please accept my righteousness? Please look at how wonderful it is. And God is there offering back to me Jesus Christ. But I am blinded from Jesus because my righteousness is right there before my eyes. I can't even see Jesus. I can't see that Bible. Because, oh God, would you please accept my righteousness? Look how wonderful it is. But they can't see that God is offering them his righteousness. And it's right there. It's right there. They're blinded. Thank you. They're blinded by their righteousness. Everyone who's trying to work their way to heaven is blinded by their own righteousness. Their sight is blocked to see God's righteousness offered to them, you see. And that's anybody who's trying to work their way to heaven. You could almost say their mind is biased against the truth because their righteousness is so important to them. God, can't you see how great my goodness is? It's so wonderful. Don't I deserve your heaven? And God says, no. No, your righteousness is a bunch of filthy, dirty rags to me. Just trust my Son. Put your faith in his righteousness for your salvation. Verse 4, Romans chapter 9. Christ Jesus is the end of righteousness. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the... I don't know that I read verse 3. Let me go back and read verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, ignorant because they're blinded by their own righteousness. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. All they have to do is toss their righteousness out of the way. And then there would be the righteousness of Christ in their vision offered by God. But they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law. Christ is our righteousness, in other words. The wording here indicates that the entire Old Testament law, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. The entire Old Testament law was written with Jesus Christ in mind being the period at the last phrase of the law. Jesus Christ is the end of it. He's the final period at the end of the final sentence. It means that Jesus is the Amen that finishes the Old Testament book. It means that Christ is the completion of the law for righteousness. He is the righteous one. He is righteousness. His righteousness fulfilled all the law. It means that the design of the law was to lead people to Christ. The design of the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. The law's purpose was to point man to Jesus Christ. The Amen of the law. The use of the law was to direct people toward righteousness unto Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness because He is the perfection of the law. Christ is the end of the law because He fulfilled the entire law. Christ is the end of the law because He performed every whit, every jot and tittle. Christ is the end of the law because all the law pointed to Christ. And when He, the substance, the body of the law, was come, the shadow is gone. The law is gone. Christ is the end of the law because He did that which the law could not do. Christ did that which the law could not do. Christ made sinners righteous. The law could not do that. Christ made sinners righteous. He is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. The Jews don't believe in Him. Therefore, there is no end to the law. They just keep on keeping on, keep on working at it. But Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. Christ does you no good. Jew, Gentile, Christ does you no good if you do not believe on Him. Christ is the end of the law for those that believe on Him. But Christ is not the end of the law for those who do not. Christ and His atonement, His wonderful payment of your salvation, the fact that Jesus died on the cross, allowed men to torture Him, the fact that He laid down His life for you, all of it does no good for you if you don't believe on Him. He did it all in vain for you if you spurn it and say no. Christ can be the end of the law for righteousness to you. He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Do you believe today? Do you believe on Jesus Christ today? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Or are you still stumbling at that stumbling stone? The Jews are still tripping right over Him. The Jews are falling into hell as they trip over Christ. He's right there in front of their face, but they trip over Him and end up in a devil's hell. Are you tripping over Him? Are you still trying to work your way to heaven? When He has offered the fountain, "Here is the fountain of My blood to wash in and be clean. Just wash and be clean. Just wash and be clean." No, I have to. That's too easy. I must have to do something to earn salvation. And Jesus says, "No, I did it all. I did it all. It is finished," Jesus cried. "Salvation is done. It is completed. It is finished. It's just for you and I to believe. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation? Is He your Savior?" Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for doing all of the work. Thank you, Lord, that you opened the gates of grace to the Gentiles. And Lord, thank you so much that my family heard the gospel. And because of it, I heard the gospel and I was saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your salvation. If there's one here today that doesn't know Christ, Lord, would you speak to that heart? Help them to understand that all they have to do is wash and be clean. That's all. Lord, I pray for our little ones that they would all understand they have to make a decision for Jesus Christ. They must choose Christ. The fountain is there, but they must choose to dip in it and be clean. And Father, help us to share the wonderful news with others this week. Help us to be that good servant who increased the talents that God gave to him and invested them. Lord, help us to share Christ with others this week. Bless the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.